Welcome to the Daily Review with Brad Munson. And let's talk about Echo, that new Marvel Spotlight limited series that got blown our way one day after another in late December, and what it all means. Well, some of what it all means. Okay, I admit it, I have strong feelings about this show for at least a couple of reasons unrelated to the show itself. I've been a huge comic book nerd since I was 10 years old. Adventure Comics, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. I cried when Lightning Lad died, you know, the first time. And I have read comics consistently since then for literally 60 years now. I was a comic book nerd back when it wasn't cool, and the first Marvel comic I bought was Avengers number 4, when Captain America was fished out of the ice for the first time. Hey, I even published comics for a short while back in the early 90s, and I was hanging around with people like Frank Miller and Steve Gerber and Stephen Grant. Don't get me started. So when comics that I'd lived with my whole long life became wildly popular, and comic book nerds became popular themselves, and we even had movies, good movies, made about the superheroes I'd always loved, well, I was in hog heaven. Come on. Still am. So yes, I tend to be very forgiving and very critical of every damn superhero adaptation for screens large and small that come along. I admit it. And then there's the deaf thing. Entirely different path, but I was deeply involved in the deaf community throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. A personal family thing, raising a deaf child and learning a great deal, maybe as much as any hearing person could at the time, about deafness and deaf culture, when all anybody knew about it was repeated viewings of Children of a Lesser God and The Miracle Worker. So here, too, the blossoming of deaf actors, deaf storylines, and most recently, characters introduced into dramas and comedies where the character's deafness isn't always central to the plot, that's important to me. And I'm thinking of characters and storylines in things like Only Murders in the Building, or The Amazing Race, or The Great British Bake Off, even. And though I'm no longer deeply involved in the deaf community, and it has changed radically in the last decade alone because of technology and medical breakthroughs and the whole way hearing people now treat the deaf, I'm still aware of it and sensitive to it. Hell, I still get all teary-eyed when I see a car commercial with a deaf father and his son in it. I'm going to give you a break. So, Echo. Though I'm mostly a DC and independent comics guy, I wandered away from Marvel years ago, and you know, too many X-Men, too many clones. I was well aware of Maya Lopez when she was introduced in Daredevil a few years back, and I was relieved to see that her superpower, which in the comics has to do with duplicating anybody's fighting style, wasn't as linked to her hearing issues to the same embarrassing degree that Daredevil's powers are linked to his blindness. That's what makes him super. And yes, they played a different game with her powers in the TV series, but still, she's not a superpower deaf girl. She's a fascinating, pleasantly dark character with amazing abilities. So, given all this background, what did I think of the show? It was okay. More of a relief, really, that they didn't screw it up than an inspiration. I was really pleased to see that Maya's chosen family in Oklahoma all worked hard to learn sign. See sign, at least, if not full-on ASL. I appreciated that they didn't make her a super lip reader or skipped over the difficulties she often had in communication. And I was glad the main story had very little to do with her disability. Yeah, don't at me. The language is hard to cope with sometimes. It had a lot more to do with her abandonment and her range. Deeply human emotions and flaws for people of all kinds. On the other hand, the story was tough to follow, even for an old comic book geek like me. Her necessarily taciturn, emotionally distant personality and her loner status made it hard to understand her motives a lot of the time. And the introduction almost casually of a supernatural element in a deeply realistic story made things even harder to follow at times. And yeah, Alaka Cox's performance was pretty amazing, even up against powerhouses like Vincent D'Onofrio and Graham Greene, but the fact that this was her first on-screen role showed her on the edges more than once. Even so, I was very, very glad they found a damn good deaf actress to play the part, rather than go for a damn good actress who was pretending to be deaf. D'Onofrio was, as always, brilliant, but boy, did they let him off the hook with the signing thing. While her whole extended family and friends signed throughout, Wilson Fisk, who supposedly loved her deeply, could never be bothered to learn, and though the callous murder of the interpreter in the later episodes did play an important role in exposing his truly evil character, as if we didn't know, the subsequent introduction of that fantasy technology that gave her magic contact lenses that allowed her to see a ghostly hologram of sign over the kingpin whenever he spoke, as well as allowed him to hear an AI voice whispering in her ear whenever she signed, yeah, that was very convenient and very annoying. You have to wonder if it was done just to speed up and simplify those last few scenes between Echo and Kingpin, or because there wasn't the time or inclination to teach Vincent D'Onofrio the signs he needed. I mean, hey, Graham Greene made a cut at it. I mean, not great, but come on. All in all, the fight scenes were very good. Better, weirdly, than fight scenes in The Marvels, but we'll get around to that some other time. The characterizations were strong. The cameos by Daredevil and Hawkeye, the latter entirely in cuts from earlier shows, they were at the very least painless. I wasn't crazy about the open-ended "more to come in Daredevil's own show" conclusion, but I also wasn't surprised. And let's see if Maya does show up in Didi's own series when it finally arrives, whenever that is. It wasn't great. I mean, it was no Loki or What If, but there was a down-to-earth, gritty quality to it that makes it well worth watching. And maybe not binging, but enjoy it now and then when there's nothing else around. And please, can we be done with the superpowered disabled people bit for a while now? It was never a great idea, and now it's just getting hard to watch. And that's it for today's Daily Review. I'm here with something new every day, Monday through Friday, every damn week, so come on back whenever you can stand it. There are links to what we've been talking about in the show notes and in the accompanying blog on thebradmunson.com. Take a look, and please do all the normal stuff like rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or any podcatcher of your choice. Tell your friends, invite your mom, you know, spread the word. And let me know what you think. You can also follow me for more and different stuff on Instagram or Threads at TheBradMunson, and on my website, weirdly enough called TheBradMunson.com. So until next time, I'm Brad Munson, and that's The Daily Review.